Let's just open with a word of prayer. God, we love you. We thank you for sending Jesus to be the gift. We thank you that we have in Jesus the hope, and that the hope has come, that you're here, that you're alive in us, that you are alive in this world, and that no matter what we see, no matter what we face, you are God with us. We love you today. We go to your word and we ask you to just bring your word to life to us and help us to be not only hearers of the word, but doers also, Lord. I thank you for it. God, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Merry Christmas. Thank you for being here today. It's really a pleasure to have all you here with us this morning. I really am glad to see you here, in part because I think it means that you believe in what we're doing. And this starting this brand new church in Baltimore City, and even on a Christmas morning, that you would give up a part of your Christmas morning to be with us. I just want to say thank you for that, because we really are doing this because we want to see change in Baltimore City, because we believe that Jesus is the hope, because we believe that he's the life, we believe that he is the gift to us. Amen? That's why we're here. And we would do church on a Sunday morning, you know, when the early morning security guard was with us this morning, you know, and I came in, he's like, "You guys are open today," is what he said to me. And I said, "Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of the point." And I just want to say thank you for coming and being part of this, because it means that you have a vote of confidence, a vote of support in the fact that we believe that we need to serve the people that live in this city the way that they need to be served. And we know that there are a lot of people that are here in this city that have grown up in liturgical church background. And so the only thing that they know is a mass or some sort of service on Christmas. And that's why we're here and open for business, so to speak, this morning. So thank you. Thank you for being a part of that. If you'll do me a favor and grab your Bible, we want to go to look one step further, our kind of last message on this series that we've been in the month of December called The Gift. And we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, page 780 for me. So I'm going to read from the New Living this morning. And what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Now, prior to that, this month, we have looked at Isaiah chapter 53, one of the more famous prophecies about Jesus and what he would mean to us. We looked at Isaiah chapter 53, and we looked at some of the passages in Matthew and in Luke, in looking at the stories of Joseph and Mary and talking about the virgin birth and the deity of Christ and how we respond to that. And last week, we looked at even the shepherds and their part that they had to play in this whole story, and the angels and what they had to say about Jesus and what he means to us, and even the birth of Jesus. And so that's where we were up to this point in this month. And now we come to kind of really just after the birth of Jesus and the story of the wise men. Okay? So, Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel." Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child, and when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary. And they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. Now, with Christmas being on a Sunday, it's a little bit different for our kids. A lot of times we will, you know, all get in our jammies on Christmas Eve and sleep in front of the tree or the fireplace or, you know, whatever, and maybe have one gift that night, and then we wake up on Sunday morning to do the stockings, you know, the stocking stuffers, pull the little things out of the stockings before doing a big gift, you know? And with Sunday being Christmas, we did the stockings last night, but they still haven't gotten the big gift. You know what I'm talking about? When you were a little kid, you know, and you go down, you look at the tree, and there it is. What is in that box? You want to pick it up. You're guesstimating the weight. Oh, this one's heavy, Gideon said with one of them last night. This one's kind of heavy. I wonder what could be in here. Shake it. What does it sound like? Smell it, rattle it, scratch it, sniff it, you know, open up the paper just a little bit. You know, oh, you know, mom's going to see that tear in the paper. There's that excitement. There's that wonder of what would be in that gift. And we've talked a little bit this month about how that applies to baby Jesus and the birth of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And we looked at in Isaiah 53 how Jesus was really a help is on the way Messiah that was predicted. And in a same kind of mysterious way, Jesus is the big gift. And think about that. Jesus is the big gift of God. God didn't wait till later for a bigger gift, right? Heaven is like a side benefit. It's not the big gift. Hello? Jesus is the big gift. He's the one that was prepared, the one that was prophesied over and over and over for hundreds of years. Jesus, the Messiah, is the big gift. And guess what? He's still alive. We've mentioned that passage from Hebrews. It says, how then shall they overcome, meaning overcome, deal with the challenges of this life, if they ignore so great a salvation? Jesus is the big gift. What we mentioned before, what a shame it would be if our kids today went back to school the following, it's a week later, Monday, and talked about, you know, oh, we had a great Christmas. Did you get a gift? Yes, absolutely. It was so great to have a present under the tree. What was it? Well, I don't know. I never opened it. That would be terrible, right? For me as a father, that wouldn't make me happy, right? The time, energy, and money that my wife and I put into preparing the big gift, right? You save up for it. You know, I was talking to my grandfather, you know, on the phone earlier this week, and, you know, grandma passed away this past year, and he said to me this way, grandma and I saved this whole year to give a gift for the kids, right? What is it like for me as a father to save, to put time, energy, money? Wrapping is not a fun thing for me, right? What is it like to put all that effort in, and then if they were to just talk about the fact that they had a tree and they had a gift? And yet in the way that we do church in the United States today, it's easy to approach our Christianity like that. I show up, I check the box, now I'm a better person, and I go about my everyday life. Just the same. That's not God's plan. Father God's plan for us is to open the gift, right? It's for us to use the gift. It's for us to apply the gift. It's for us to digest the gift. And what that means to us, it's for us to do something with the gift. The gift is not meant to remain closed and wrapped and sealed and mysterious. The gift is meant to be opened. What Jesus meant is meant to be opened. Jesus is the big gift. Now, let's talk just briefly about the wise men and what this whole part of what was gone on. Now, I think that there's a couple things that are significant. I just want to pull out of the text in our abbreviated service this morning. In verse 6, quoting the prophecy, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, not the least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel. You know, how interesting is it that, and we've discussed the virgin birth and the birth and laying the baby in the manger, right? Is there sleeping in an animal pen? That's a humble birth, right? God could have chosen to rend the sky, to rip open the sky and come down in any and every glorious force that you can imagine, be it military, be it artistic, musical. Took any Michael Jackson Super Bowl halftime show. That's nothing compared to what God could have done if he wanted to make that the entrance of the prophesied, the coming Messiah. But he didn't do it that way. He chose a humble way. What does it say about our God? We discussed even the messages that were given to Joseph and Mary ahead of time about his name, right? Call him Emmanuel, God with us. Call him Jesus, the one who saves. What does that say to you about your relationship with Jesus? What does that say to you about a relationship of God and how God chose to reveal himself? And even in this prophecy about where he would be born, it's prophesied that he would be a ruler, right? One who has authority and one who would shepherd his people. Now, this prophet was at a time where he could have used the analogy of a carpenter. He could have used the analogy of a fisherman. He could have used the analogy of a king, of a general, of someone, of a slave master. This prophet could have used that analogy, but guided by God, by the Holy Spirit, he spoke of how Jesus would care for us, and he related it to a shepherd. Do you know that there are times when a shepherd will lead the sheep by walking out in front? By literally walk this way. There are times where a shepherd will actually lead his sheep, a little counterintuitive to us, from the back with his voice. And he would have a rod and a staff, one shorter, thicker, one longer and thinner, one for discipline and one for guidance. One to nudge and say, go this way. That's why in even the revelation of Jesus, in the book of Revelation, it says, there will be a voice behind you telling you to turn to the right or turn to the left. Jesus is described as a shepherd, one who would lead us and guide us in different ways. Following Jesus can take on different forms, but we are not led by Jesus, a dominant ruler, right? We're not led by Jesus, a military powerhouse. Now, he is predicted also to be God above all gods, King above all kings, right? Lily of the valley, Prince of Peace. But in this ruler that would come from this humble town, Bethlehem, this ruler is described as a shepherd. That should inform you. That should inform your daily relationship with God. Now, verse 10, when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. Now, this is a different word that we saw last week as it relates to the shepherds. And I think it's kind of funny. The shepherds, when they saw the angels, it was awe. It was literally the breath taken away. The wise men, when they had their visitation, they responded with joy. Now, let's just talk about joy for a second. Gladness, great happiness, means to be excited. It is a quality and not simply an emotion. Okay? Grounded upon God himself and indeed derived from him, which characterized the Christian's life on earth and also anticipates the joy of being with Christ forever in the kingdom of heaven. Now, joy is a fruit of the Spirit and a gift which may be interrupted by sin. Every believer is called upon to share in the joy of Christ by a daily walk with him and a daily practice of rejoicing in the knowledge of him and his salvation. During this week, you can take a look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Or Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Philippians 4:4 and 1 Peter 1:8. Now, shepherds responded with awe, wise men responded with joy, but they also both responded with action. Now, this is important because we've been talking about how then do I respond to this baby Jesus, to God who was revealed in this way. They both responded with action. Now, let's look at verse 11, okay? Then they entered the house. Now, We can just gloss over and miss the fact that they were looking to begin with. They were perceptive to the signs. Are you, as you come to the end of this year and you look at the new year, I know Christmas Day, you probably don't feel like doing that, but as you do that, you sit down with a cup of coffee tomorrow on Boxing Day, Canadian Thanksgiving, we call it. Are you going to look back on this year and look for the signs of God's favor? God's faithfulness, His unfailing love. See, the wise men were looking. They were perceptive. They were looking at what the prophets had said, what had been written down, and they were looking for signs in nature. Now, I know this might sound a little bit weird, but listen, I live in a house that was not wiped out by a flood this year. Thank you, Noah, and that covenant, right? Right? I mean, I don't mean to make light of people who did lose their homes to floods this year, but I'm grateful that I did not. It's good, it's useful to me, informs my faith to look back and be perceptive, to be actively learning, to be looking and saying, hey, look what God has provided for me, right? It's the kind of perception, the kind of quality of life. I know one guy who always says, be nice to people on the way up because you're going to need them on the way down. Right? I mean, live a little life and you'll always meet someone that's going through a challenge that you're glad you don't have. Right? I'm glad that I got through this year without a cancer. Listen, there's plenty of guys in their late 30s that have had a lot more health problems than me. Now, I'm not without my problems, but, you know, I've got to be grateful. You get the point, right? I'm going to look back on this year and I'm going to be grateful for the things that He did do where He showed His faithfulness and His love for me. They were perceptive and they followed Him and they took action to follow Him. They entered the house. There is a principle. I mean, we could preach on this just for a half hour if we got really charismatic, right? There is a principle of coming into the house where Jesus is. Now, yesterday, we saw the Chipmunks movie with our kids in this room. That was fun. When we come in today, I'm not coming in today singing Lady Gaga like was in that movie. I'm coming in today to meet with the God of the Bible. I'm coming in today to meet with Jesus. I come in today like the wise man, perceptive to the fact that God can be here, that when we come together, when we lift His name, His presence is there. Right? The Bible says He inhabits the praises of His people. Now, is God in my home? Is God in my study? Is God at my job? If I'm following God, if I am looking for God, I think that some conservative Americans can too quickly criticize what is in a lot of pop culture, which is looking for God everywhere. Oh, they're just wacky. Well, sometimes they have a point. I mean, granted, I'm not worshiping a tree. You know, I'm not going to go hug it out with a, you know, a Douglas fir. You know, but at the same time, I do need to see the wonder in what God has created. And when I enter a room, I'm looking for God there. Because if He's the creator of the universe, and if He cares for us, He created us to be eternal and spiritual beings. When I come into a room, if I'm the only one there, I can meet with God there. If you are there, I can look for God in you, how God created you to be, the value of what God created you to be. The more familiar I am with you, the harder it is for me to dislike you, right? That's just a godly principle. And the more that I do that, the more we can worship God together, the better life gets. It's the principle of the wise men, right? Enter the place where Jesus is. Now, sometimes that is a humble place that's not easy for us to see Him. If they weren't looking, is it possible that they would not, that they would have seen an animal pen and a poor couple with a baby in a manger? What's wrong with them? They just don't know any better. No, the wise men, they were paying attention to nature. They saw the star move. They followed the signs. They sought out the prophecies of God and they entered the house where Jesus was. Right? They entered the house. Now, and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. They gave their worship before they gave their gifts. Now, 1 Corinthians, where it talks about different spiritual gifts that a lot of people like to, quote, bring into the church, they miss what happens right before that chapter. That's 1 Corinthians 13 that talks about a godly kind of love. You don't get to just bring God your gifts. You bring God your worship first. Because if you bring God your worship first, your value system is adjusted. A bit too deep for Christmas morning. I'm sorry. Come on. If I bring God my worship first, I see Jesus where he is, I respond with awe, I respond with joy, it is a position, it is a posture, I enter the house and I bring God my worship. Now this word for worship here is laying prostrate, right? Prostrate. I'm laying on the ground, on my face, I'm humbling myself. You cannot lay on the ground in worship and be full of yourself. Kind of hard, right? Most people that do that, they're standing, they're walking, gyrating, jumping, something, right? When I lay down on my face before God and I worship God that way, think about wise men from the east visited the king first, the leader of the nation, come into an animal pen with a baby in a manger and lay. Do you know what an animal pen floor is like? Not many places are clean, right? Laid on the floor to worship God. And then they gave gifts. Now, we've been talking about the generous life. We have our courageous generosity offering from Thanksgiving and New Year's. We talk about learning how to live on less of our time, energy, and money so that we can give it away to others, to the church, to minister, but to others as well, to the poor that are around us, to, as the Bible even says, foreigners that live among us, right? To people who are not as well off as us. We believe in that generosity, and it comes in the house of God, in a worship of God, but it is literally me living my life as a choice, as a worship to God, one-on-one. Now, each of these three wise men were not really aware of the others. What we don't have here, which we could, we just assume because it's not in there that it wouldn't be like that. But what we don't have here is them reciting poems about the value of each other. Worshipping each other's accomplishments, declaring each other's, or even them starting with declaring their own accomplishments. Listen, you don't travel far away with gold, frankincense, and myrrh and meet with the king and not have something to offer. Right? Not have accomplished something in your life. These were people that had accomplished something. But when they came into the room, they didn't set themselves up. Right? They didn't, you know, have you ever met someone who comes into your job or even a church and says, I've accomplished this, that, and the other. And that's their lead-in. That's not how we come to Jesus. We don't come to Jesus and say, I'm here and it's a big sacrifice because it's Christmas morning. And I'm a person who's important. They bill $400 an hour for my time. No, we don't come. I've got 3 degrees and I've got. No, we don't come in declaring our accomplishments or even the value of our birth. Most likely these would have been people with a very proud birth, right? Of a lineage, right? A genealogy that other people would be jealous of. No, they didn't come in with that. They came in, they entered the room, they laid down, they worshiped, and then they gave their gifts. God wants the same from you today in your response to Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is the big gift. Everything else only matters a little bit. Right? So when we say, Merry Christmas! There should be something of that joy in that statement. Amen? Now, just to kind of wrap up this, you know, our abbreviated worship, you know, service today. This is very, very personal. And so when we talk about this, I don't know, I might need your help here. Okay. Well, today, when we look at Matthew 2, 1 through 2, we look at joy, worship, and gifts. We can need to be mindful of that's how we respond. That's how we respond to God. That's one of the things that I take away from the wise men. Now, just real quickly to kind of recap what we've talked about this month. Isaiah 53. This is what we pulled from it, okay? God is alive and active. Yahweh God. Okay? Yahweh means creator and redeemer, right? Yahweh God is alive and active. He sees the fix we're in. We're talked about sin and how it separates us from God. He doesn't want us trying to work our way out of it, right? Number one, God is alive and active. Number two, He sees the fix we're in. Number three, He doesn't want us trying to work our way out of it. Number four, He prepared a way. Right? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but by me. Number five, redemption is complete. His redemption in Jesus is complete. It's done. It's settled. You don't have to work your way out of it. It's finished. It's done. Number six, God wants us to accept the gift, right? That's what He wants. He wants us to accept the gift. Now, when we looked at Mary and Joseph's story, Matthew 1:18-25 and Luke 1:26-55, we talked about how both Mary and Joseph, in those passages, they had their individual experience, right? And in their individual experience, both of them responded in two specific ways. They submitted to the will of God. They said, yes, okay, I will submit. I will go along with this, right? And second, they responded with stewardship. They chose 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, to steward the pregnancy, to steward, to raise Jesus, right, as their son, all the way to adulthood. His public ministry, the miracles and everything else, that didn't start till he was 30 years old. They raised him. They stewarded the promise. Are you submitting to God and stewarding your salvation, right? Now, then last week we talked about, we talked in that about the difference between dissection and digestion. When I look at the virgin birth, when I look at the deity of Christ, I don't, from a distance, in a scientific way, observe it, then kill it, right? And then determine the use of each part. How it was intended to be used. No, instead I digest it. I see it. I smell it. Right? From the Bible we get that idea of taste and see that the Lord is good. I taste it. There is a trust. You don't put something in your mouth without trust. Right? I take a decision of trust and of faith and I digest it, not to determine its use in every detail, but to put it to use. From that food, I derive the nutrients and what I need for life. You are a spiritual being. You are more spiritual than you are natural. You cannot take the virgin birth of Jesus, the deity of Christ, without some digestion. Right? I don't look at the virgin birth, kill it, dissect it as an idea, and determine the use of each part. No, I take an element of trust, of faith, and I digest, what does that mean to me? That means that Jesus was both fully God and fully man, right? I have to take that and digest that as a spiritual principle and apply it to my life, put it to use. I have to open the gift. And then last week, we looked at Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. And from that and the shepherds and what the angel said to the shepherd and how the shepherds responded, this is what we got. The angel said to him, Jesus is the gift. Jesus is the Savior, the Messiah, and the Lord. Right? Each of those things. We talked about what that meant. Number two, when you see, you want to tell. Right? When the shepherds saw Jesus, they wanted to tell everybody about it. And that's exactly what they did. Number three, Mary listened to the prophecy, watched what the shepherds did at the birth, and then she remembered it. And she considered it. It says for the rest of her life, she hid those things in her heart. She remembered what happened and she considered it, what it meant. That should be our approach to the birth of Jesus, let alone the gift of Jesus. Number four, the shepherds, it says very specifically that then they went back to work and they were grateful for what they had experienced. When we, after the holidays, go back to work, that's a part of our response, just from even the Christmas story. I go back to work, but I don't go back to work the same. I go back to work grateful. Amen? Number five, it was just as the angel told them. This is from Luke 2, 1 through 20. It's so important that when we consider the Christmas story, we remember it's true. It's true. It's just as the angels told them. And so just in closing today, as you look at Jesus and what he means to us, let's respond with joy. It's not a human emotion that fades, right? It is a disposition. It is a position. It is a posture. I am excited. I am full of life. I am full of joy, right? I am grateful to God. And then we humble ourselves to worship him, right? And then we bring him our gifts. And whether you've got a good job or a bad job or no job, what you do as work every day is done as worship to him. When I've had bad jobs, it was a lot easier to deal with a bad boss when I looked at the quality of my work as worship to God. Amen? Christmas matters. Christmas is important. And I want to say thank you for sharing your Christmas with us. And Merry Christmas, and have a great day. Enjoy your day. But let's stand and just close in prayer today. We took, the month of December to really look at the Christmas story, because unfortunately, I think it's all too easy to do life without thinking about what the Christmas story is and what it means. And unfortunately, it's easy to go through a whole year in church and not look at what the Bible says about the Christmas story. We don't want that, right? It's City Bible Church. It's called that for a reason. And so we want to have a look at that. And so thank you for being here. Let's close in prayer. If you'll bow your heads, close your eyes. If you'd like prayer today, feel free to raise your hand as I pray, and I'll pray for you. God, I just thank you for what the birth of Jesus means to us. Lord, I thank you for the gift of the Messiah, Jesus, God who saves, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, you are the big gift. And God, I thank you that we can come to you when we're going through stuff that no one else knows about, when we're going through things that are difficult, when we're going through hard times, when we are remembering loss, when we're remembering tragedy, remember what a difficult year maybe it has been. God, I pray that you would breathe life into us. Lord, I pray that you would breathe life into us and restoration. Lord, that we would come again to a place of awe and joy in you and what you mean to us. We thank you for the Christmas story. We thank you that it's true, that it's real, and that Jesus, you bring us hope. We love you today, God, and pray a blessing on today. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 God bless you. Thank you for coming. Rebecca did some homemade scones that are out there in the concessionary that are amazing. Please enjoy some of those scones. God bless you.